A reading from the second book of Kings. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, sent envoys to Hezekiah with this message. Thus shall you say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, do not let your God on whom you rely deceive you by saying that Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. You have heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all other countries. They doomed them. Will you then be saved? Hezekiah took the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. Then he went up to the temple of the Lord, and spreading it out before him, he prayed in the Lord's presence. O Lord, God of Israel, enthroned upon the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which he sent to taunt the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands and cast their gods into the fire. They destroyed them because they were not gods, but the work of human hands, wood and stone. Therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from the power of this man, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. Then Isaiah, son of Azel, sent this message to Hezekiah. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, in answer to your prayer for help against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have listened. This is the word the Lord has spoken concerning him. She despises you, laughs you to scorn, the virgin daughter Zion. Behind you she wags her head, daughter Jerusalem. For out of Jerusalem shall come a remnant, and from Mount Zion survivors. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not reach this city, nor shoot an arrow at it, nor come before it with a shield, nor cast up siege works against it. He shall return by the same way he came, without entering the city, says the Lord. I will shield and save this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. That night, the angel of the Lord went forth and struck down 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. So Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, broke camp and went back home to Nineveh. The word of the Lord. God upholds his city forever. Great is the Lord and holy to be praised in the city of our God. His holy mountain, fairest of heights, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion, the recesses of the north, is the city of the great king. God is with her castles. Renowned is he as a stronghold. O God, we ponder your mercy within your temple. As your name, O God, so also your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Of justice and the right hand is full.
God holds his city forever. Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, or throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and tear you to pieces. Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Verbum Domini. In our first reading from the second book of Kings, the king of Assyria, northeast of Judah, Sennacherib, threatens the king of Judah, Hezekiah, and he taunts him. He taunts God. He says, "Will you then be saved by your God?" In essence. So what does Hezekiah do? He does what we should do. He goes into the presence of the Lord. He goes into the presence of the Lord and he prays. And here's some of what he prayed. He begins first by acknowledging who God is, that he is all-powerful, that he has made all things. "O Lord God of Israel, enthroned upon the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heavens and the earth." So first he acknowledges that truth. And you know, that should give us all courage, because it's true. God is God. The Lord is the Lord. He has made all things. He is all powerful. He is all wise. And he is all good. So he's able to do all things. What he does is most perfect. And yet it's done for good, for love of us. And then he continues, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and listen. Therefore, O Lord our God, save us." Sennacherib said, "Will your God save you?" "O Lord our God, save us." And why? "That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord our God." So what he does, Hezekiah, is he goes into the presence of the Lord. And we have this wonderful opportunity now during this Eucharistic revival and this time of Eucharistic pilgrimages to come into the presence of the Lord, to pray for our nation, as our Lord's presence is passing from west and east, from north and south, and coming together to the center, a somewhat geographic center of Indianapolis, where there's going to be this wonderful Eucharistic Congress. And so during this time, it's for all of us, dear people, to pray in the presence of the Lord, to pray for our nation, to pray for those who mock God. You say, "Will your God save you?" And we pray, "God, save us. God, bless us. God, help us to return to you. This is our time to do such things, to come into the presence of the Lord in the Eucharistic pilgrimages, or in the presence of the Lord in our Catholic churches where the Blessed Sacrament is reserved, to pray for our nation during these days. We had the wonderful experience last week of the Eucharistic pilgrimage that started in Brownsville, Texas, making its way around the Gulf to Mobile, and then coming up to Hansville in the Shrine, where we had a beautiful procession with the Blessed Sacrament. There were some 600 people there. And then we had a holy hour in the Shrine, the beautiful Shrine of the Blessed Sacrament in the church there. Hopefully that you got to see that. And I was talking with Deacon Chuck at the end of that day, and he was saying, you know, it was just like this peace of Christ just pervaded. We all had this sense of Christ's peace, his presence there, his blessing, as we were coming together into his presence and to pray. That's the truth. That's what Hezekiah did. That's what we ought to do, especially in these days, especially in this time of the Eucharistic revival, this time when our Lord's presence is crossing, as I said, east and west, north and south, across these United States. And also throughout the world, too, that wherever our Lord is reserved in the Blessed Sacrament, you can come into the presence of the Lord. Pray for our world that so much needs peace. Let us pray. You know, Blessed Carlo Acutis, I thought of him and a quote of his when I was reading today's gospel. And he said, everyone is born as an original, but many people end up dying as photocopies. And so our Lord talks about there's a narrow way, but then there's a wide way. Just be a photocopy of everybody else, what everybody else says you should be doing, embracing the wide road to destruction. Just be a photocopy. And how is it that we are to be originals? It's by living in God's will. It's in seeking his will, carrying out his plans and his purposes, living in a state of grace. God's always doing something new. And I've been reflecting a lot on some words that we have in the scriptures so often, and often in the Psalms, and we had it this morning in our morning prayer. And I will sing to the Lord a new song. I will sing to the Lord a new song. You see, each of us is to sing a new song to the Lord, a song that only you and I can sing individually, uniquely, a particular work that God has given us to do is our song. It's a way in which we glorify him with our life, with our words, with our actions. And because God is infinite, that each of us in a unique way can remain the originals that he wants us to be, completely fulfilled, completely fulfilling the plans and purposes that he has in mind for us. Sing a new song to the Lord, your song, not somebody else's song. Don't just be a photocopy of what everybody else is doing. Be the original that God wants you to be. Go that narrow way, not that wide way that leads to destruction. You know, my sister sent me last night a song by an 18-year-old singer in Indiana. And this debuted just 2 days before the second anniversary of the reversal of Roe v. Wade. It's number 5 on iTunes downloads for country music. And it was an 18-year-old young lady from Indiana, this pro-life song, I was gonna be. And here's what she said about that. She said, I'm singing that song. When she first read about it, she knew there'd be some controversy about it. I'm singing that song I think a lot of the songs that girls my age listen to never talk about real life. And that's what I want to do. You see, she's going to be the original God wanted her to be. Not just copying what others might be doing just to degrade society in so many ways, as much of music does today, but to have an uplifting message that encourages people to see the dignity of life in her own unique way. That's for each of us. What song does the Lord want you to sing? You know, it's been said that of preachers, in a particular way, they're given one message. You know, that we who have the privilege, really, to preach as clergy, or those who are lay people who give spiritual talks and so on, that there's particularly one message the Lord has so strongly on our hearts that we often repeat and repeat in different ways. And that's our song. That's a song he's planted in our heart to sing, to express, to bring to others. One other thing that I wanted to bring out today regarding today's gospel, do not give what is holy to dogs or throw your pearls before swine. How was this understood? Well, in the early church, there's one of the most ancient Christian documents we have is called the Didache. And that word Didache means teaching. And so the title that this document begins with, it goes back to 80 or 90 AD, most scholars think. It's a first century document. And it was a basic catechesis, the Lord's instruction to the Gentiles through the 12 apostles. So it was just a basic instruction on how we are to live as Christians. This goes back to apostolic times, you know, after the time of the apostles. We believe John died in the 90s or around 100 AD. So this was written probably, most scholars think, before that. And it begins by talking about the two ways. Here's what it begins with. There are two ways, a way of life and a way of death. And the difference between these two ways is great. By the way, you can find this document on EWTN's website. It's quite easy to find. The Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, Didache. There are two ways, a way of life and a way of death, and the difference between these two ways is great. The way of life is this: you shall love first the Lord your Creator, and secondly, your neighbor as yourself, and you shall do nothing to any man that you would not wish to be done to yourself. And then it continues on, and when you read this document, you'll recognize a lot of the different teachings of our Lord in the Gospels. What he taught us is how we are to live. And then it talks about the way of death. And it has a list of sins, which includes murder, abortion, infanticide, fornication, adultery, homosexual acts. It has all of these different lists. That is the wide way that leads to death. So there's two ways. It's for us to make the choice. No one can make the choice for us, and each of us has to make the choice. And today, let us make the choice for life. Let us choose to be originals, not photocopies of what everybody else is doing on that wide way that leads to destruction. Let's be the originals that God wants us to be, living in his grace, fulfilling his plans and purposes, singing this song he's put on our hearts. And we'll grow in intensity, too, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And finally, in the Didache, it also has some liturgical instructions where it talks about fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays It has the Lord's Prayer in its entirety. We're going to pray this three times a day. You know the church does that? Praise the Our Father liturgically three times a day in our morning prayer, our evening prayer, and at Mass. We pray the Lord's Prayer. And of the Eucharist, no one is to eat or drink of your Eucharist but those who have been baptized in the name of the Lord. For the Lord's own saying applies here, give not that which is holy to the dogs. So all are called to this life and this fullness of life in the Eucharist. But they have in here, and I'll just conclude with this, for our reflection today as we receive Holy Communion, has a prayer of thanksgiving to offer after everyone has received. And so it says, when all have partaken sufficiently, this is received the Eucharist, they are to give thanks in these words. Thanks be to you, Holy Father, for your sacred name, which you have caused to dwell in our hearts, and for the knowledge and faith and immortality which you have revealed to us through your servant Jesus. Glory be to thee forever and ever. And it speaks how he gives meat and drink to men, but that you graciously have given us spiritual meat and drink. Glory be to thee forever and ever. And then it concludes this prayer of thanksgiving after receiving communion. Be mindful of your church, O Lord, and deliver it from all evil. Perfect it in your love. Sanctify it and gather it from the four winds across the United States. Gather it from the four winds into the kingdom which you have prepared for it. Thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Let grace come and this present world pass away. Hosanna to the God of David. Whosoever is holy, let him approach. Whoso is not, let him repent. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.